Hey, PG fans, it's John Bollinger. Thanks for checking out our podcast. Have you ever seen the cool PG t-shirts I wear on rig rundowns? Well, now you can snag your very own PG merch too. T-shirts, posters, keychains, and much more. Head to shop.premierguitar.com and check it out. John Bollinger, I'm with Mike Dawes.
Hey, John.
Acoustic, God, man, you are a virtuoso. Don't really throw that word around, but dude.
False. I disagree, but that's very kind of you.
I mean, love your work, and I've been seeing you with this guitar, like, it seems like, from the very beginning. Tell me.
Yeah.
Tell me
so,
about this.
So this guitar is, the first record I did, I played a Nick Benjamin guitar, who's a great guitar maker from the south of England, based in a place called Lewis. And I still play his guitars on record for some tunes as well. Great guitars. But this guitar I had made, when was it? It must have been about 4 years ago now. So I've been using it exclusively on the road since then. And it was made by a guy in a shed in Germany, like a lot of great guitars are. And it's made by a guy called Andreas Kunz, with a very unfortunate name.
Great name.
That's with a C. So that's C-U-N-T-Z.
How else would you spell it?
Andreas Kunz, my man from Germany. So just if you search for his guitars, just clear your Google search history afterwards. But he's an amazing guy. Unfortunately, in America, you know, it's quite a naughty word over here. In England and Australia, not so much, you know. But
pretty common.
Yeah, exactly. It's how we say hello. But But, you know, do check out his guitars, amazing. And this is my sort of signature model, right? So it's called the Mike Dawes model. You can order this guitar from him to any specification, but if you do want the specific string spacing and, you know, action and things like that, and neck profile, you can get it as the Mike Dawes model. But there's a bit of a waiting list. So, and I think Tom Ann stocks some of his stuff as well. Amazing guitar.
Let's hear about, like, your specifications. Like,
sure.
Okay, let's start with, I guess the thing that grabs my eye first is that.
This
right
thing.
There.
Okay, so this, talking about Nick Benjamin, the other guitar maker who I sort of represent right now, this was something that he kind of came up with as a sort of band-aid for a guitar player named Eric Roche, who's sadly no longer with us from the UK. He was sort of Willie Nelsoning his guitar.
Sure.
Just playing it and beating the crap out of it and all of that, and it actually got some holes in it. So what Nick did in the workshop was stick a piece of spruce to the top, and that then became colloquially known in the fingerstyle scene as a scratch pad. And Nick calls it a scratch patch, but I think that sounds like some kind of aid for stopping smoking or something.
Sure.
I don't know exactly. But it's just a piece of spruce, the same wood that this top is made of. And this is something that Andreas Kunz put on this guitar, exactly the same material as the top, but untreated, right? So there's no finish on it. So what happens is, as you scratch it over time, the soft bits of the wood get worn away, the hard grain stays, and you get this sort of guiro kind of effect, right? And some people try this with beer mats, with other types of wood and things, but if you're after this specific sound, I'd highly recommend spruce because of the grain. Like other woods like walnut and things, it's a little bit harder to get that kind of sound. But I use that in some tunes to get a kind of, you know, kind
right.
of sound, you know.
Well, it seems like you're doing that, like, on, I mean, like, a lot. It is a big part of your whole rhythmic.
Yeah, it's in a lot of the tunes I do use it, yeah. All that kind of stuff,
yeah.
It's nice. But you need an internal mic to really pick it up well. And that's included in the kind of pickup configuration. But there's loads to talk about with this guitar. I mean, like, the string spacing is actually really narrow for fingerstyle guitar.
Really?
Because my fingers are like little magic wands of alien freakery. And it really all starts with the fingers, you know. In fact, these fingers, I don't know if you can see on the camera, but they were made in 1989 by my mum and dad. They're currently discontinued. Made of bone and various muscle tissue. But because I have quite lanky, skinny fingers, you know, I like a narrow string spacing. So at the nut, I don't know if my American English is good for this, but at the nut, it's 44 millimeters. I don't know what that is in. You use millimeters in America?
No.
Both the guys behind the camera are shaking their head at me like I'm some kind of idiot. So in the comment section, let me know.
Yeah, we never really embraced that whole metric thing.
Yeah.
Just us and maybe...
We lost the war, man. It's on us, man. Yeah. But on my Benjamins, I have 43 millimeter. And I said to Andreas Kuntz, can you give me a 43 millimeter nut? And he was like, no, you're insane. I'll do 44. So that's what we have. And at the bridge, it's 55 millimeters. So it's pretty narrow. Like, I think standard finger style is like 46 millimeters. So 2 millimeters goes a long way when you're talking about string spacing at the nut, for sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
Wow, and it joins the body of the, is it the
14? Yeah, just here. And the neck is actually modeled off my first guitar, Taylor 214, my first acoustic guitar. Hmm. I think Taylor's, you know, I really love the neck on Taylor guitars. They've always been very, very comfortable for me. And since I started playing electric guitar, when I went to the guitar store when I was 17, got my first Taylor, it just felt so right. So every luthier-built guitar I've ever had has basically had the same dimensions as the Taylor 214. And another cool thing about this guitar is the strings don't actually bend at the nut. I don't know if you can see that, but they kind of all go straight to the pegs.
Sure.
So when I'm in weird tunings like this, where I've got a low C sharp, you know, G sharp, this is all the way down to E. This G string is all the way down to E. So it's an open C sharp minor 9 chord. It's crazy, crazy stuff. You can get some big atmospheric sounds.
Yeah,
but wonderful. To have that little bit of extra tension, it really does help. It's a really noticeable thing.
Oh, and it's got to help with staying in tune.
Exactly. It honestly does. I noticed the difference. Some people on this tour have been asking why one of the pegs is from a Lakewood guitar, and that's because we're on tour and getting spare parts is quite hard sometimes.
Sure.
So this peg broke during a show in Cambridge at the Corn Exchange, and Chris, the master guitar tech backstage, was able to just yank a peg off a Lakewood or something. I don't know what guitar it was. Stick it on, and it's been on there ever since, just to fuck with people.
Yeah.
You know.
Somebody's
like, why have you got the silver peg? I'm like, oh, dude, it's tone.
Yeah.
Of course, it's tone.
Somebody with a Lakewood's like, what happened to my peg?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's Indian rosewood back and sides, a 38-year-old Sitka spruce top, quilted maple bindings, which I love. I love the aesthetic of that, and it helps under low stage light to have quilted maple with the black dots. I can always see where I am at all times. It's a slightly reinforced top, which is something that Andreas came up with for the more percussive players, myself included. Although I do hit quite lightly, the reinforced top just makes it really roadworthy, you know? It makes
sure.
It really easy to tour with. But then there is, and Daddario strings as well. I've been working with Daddario for a while.
What gauge and what type of...
Well, John, I'm glad you asked that question. So this is a custom set, kind of. So Daddario, one of the reasons I was attracted to Daddario in the early years was because they were one of the only sort of big brand companies that released a stock DADGAD set, so DAD, GAD tuning. And the gauges for that were from high to low, 13, 17, 24, 32, 42, 56. Okay, so you've basically got the 56, the 17, and the 13 from a set of mediums, and then the 24, 32, 42 from a set of lights. But Daddario sold these as a stock kind of thing altogether. So I didn't have to buy two packets of strings as a kid, right?
Sure.
Anyway, fell in love with the strings. I've been using them ever since, pretty much, and I've been sort of formally with Daddario for a few years now. And these are their nickel bronze sets. Now, the interesting thing about Daddario right now, by the time this video comes out onto the internet, I'm actually experimenting with a new string that they're about to release, but I probably can't talk about it now. But by the time this comes out, it'll probably be announced.
So comment section.
Comment section, yeah,
have
explain
at
what
it.
I'm talking about. And that's basically a way to, let's just say, make these strings that I love last a little bit longer on the road, right?
Ooh, I'm intrigued. Ooh, a tidbit.
Exactly, okay. Exactly.
But okay, so you're in, and so you're using this tuning, but occasionally on stage you're just playing with one guitar and tuning as you go.
So I tour incredibly light because I'm very lazy and have a bad back, basically. And on this tour, Justin Hayward has like 16 guitars. So I'm out here opening for Justin Hayward from the Moody Blues. He has a whole bunch of guitars and stuff, and I honestly don't want to make poor Chris's life any harder by having another guitar for me. Anyone in the comments or watching this who has maybe seen any of my shows, there's a lot of like talking and stories and banter between songs. And that gives me a chance to kind of flex my banter muscles whilst tuning between, you know, between things.
That's
and I get to talk I get to talk about how much I hate Brexit during shows. And that's like the perfect excuse to do that while I'm tuning. But normally I'll use like I'll normally build the sets to work with the tuning. So I'm not changing between every song, you know what I mean? Because you have to try and keep it entertaining. But this tuning I'm in right now is, like I said, an open C sharp minor 9. That would be C sharp, G sharp, D sharp, E, B, E. I use dadgad a lot. I use variations on dadgad, so a few strings dropped here and there to get various intervals that I wouldn't be able to get. And then I use standard tuning for one tune on this tour, which is a John Mayer cover.
Does that guitar, I mean, does it fight you back going from something radically different to standard?
This is why I love this guitar. So for anyone watching who experiments with different tunings, you might notice things like, you know, if you're going to drop tension, like this 24 gauge G string is down to an E, that will buzz if I hit it hard. But I play very lightly and let the pickups do the work. So it might be at volume for the monitoring purposes, but as you can hear being next to me, I'm not playing very loud at all. Same with the percussion, really letting the pickups do the work. And that's probably a wonderful segue into talking about pickups.
Perfect.
Sorry, John, I'm talking for England right now. but shall I go ahead and talk about the pickups?
Yes, our man Larry. Let's start with
our man Larry. Larry DiMarzio, a.k.a. The King. I call him The King or The Godfather. He's both, and he's a dear friend of mine. The DiMarzio family, since we met in Montana back in 2016 or 2015, I think.
Montana's my home state.
No way.
Yeah, that's
whereabouts are you from?
Billings.
Dude, I played at the Alberta Bear a bunch. I'll be back there in February, I think. Fabulous. If you know anyone, send them down.
I will.
International Guitar Night Tour, Jan, Feb, March in America, North America.
Okay. Dad, that's what you're doing that
Yeah,
night.
John's dad. See you there. It's a wicked state, man. I mean, I would move there in a heartbeat. Bozeman, I spend a lot of time in because of the DiMarzios.
Larry's
But
there.
Speaking of the DiMarzios, so they developed this pickup with me and the aforementioned luthier Nick Benjamin. We developed this variation on their Angel magnetic pickup, and we called it the Black Angel, which sounds like a B-list superhero from a reject Netflix show or something. But it's the reason this is a bit different, other than the black aesthetic, is that there's a phase switch on the side. So when I'm playing with multiple pickups, I've got to be very careful of things like phase cancellation, you know, and actually diminishing the fatness of a sound, you know, when everything's plugged in. So if I were to flick the phase switch, bear in mind I've got all my pickups active, you can hear that the tone changes dramatically. And when I bring it back, I suddenly have a lot more low end, right? And that simply wouldn't be available to me. Those choices wouldn't be available to me if the phase switch wasn't there or if I didn't have one in my rig, which I don't. So this is something for you guys that are starting to mess with multiple pickups. You need to be aware of the phase, right?
Right.
Really,
yeah.
Really important. And this is, it's passive as well, so it doesn't need a battery.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Which is sick, yep.
No battery,
no battery needed. And Eric Corpus, shout out the tech at DiMarzio who wired these things. He's really good at squeezing a lot of juice out of a passive pickup, which is really, really important, you know, just getting a strong signal. But there's actually four pickups in this guitar. Okay, so it's a bit weird. The other one is a DiMarzio Piezo, the Black Angel Piezo, which is under the bridge plate. So it's not under the saddle. As I'm sure you guys will know, under saddle Piezos have a bit of a sort of quack to it. You know, there's a bit of a, some kind of unflattering feature on both recordings and live. It's as old as time, man, isn't it?
You know?
Especially you guys based in Nashville, you must just hear this stuff all the time.
They've been around a while.
Exactly. But the best Piezos for me, yeah, they're like bridge plate ones that stick on. So that's the main bulk of the sound, is the piezo combined with the magnetic.
And are the controls right in there?
Yes. So there's also a microphone inside, which helps me pick up some of this external percussion stuff. That and the piezo I have volume control over. So if I encounter perhaps a particularly aggressive room with feedback, if I didn't have the wonderful Steve Chant who's on the desk here today, if I'm out by myself, perhaps in China or somewhere where I'm kind of self-teching, sometimes easing off the mic can fix a lot of problems in the middle of a song when you don't have time to troubleshoot.
Sure.
So it's nice to have access. But then the other pickup is actually here, and that's a little transducer by a company called Shatten. Shatten and Kuntz in my Hiscox case. But that's just there. And this actually is what I call my kick drum. So because of the reinforced top, I get to isolate this. Now, I got this idea from my Finnish brother from another mother, Petteri Sariola, who's a wonderful player from Finland, another Kuntz endorsee. And because of these reinforced tops, it's a really nice way to get around not having loads of resonance, but instead controlling it in a really nice way. So this, I mean, you can hear in this room, hopefully it translates to video, that we have some serious Godzilla power to it. And, and in a band context with Justin Hayward, I get to back up and be his drummer on some songs whilst playing the guitar parts. And that's why we're a three-piece. And that's why, for any critics of this geeky, weirdo guitar style who think that it's like a fad or a fashion, I would say, he sold 100 million records and he thinks it's cool.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Fuck you guys. No,
yeah.
Knights
in white satin.
Exactly.
Need we say more?
And there's a kick drum guitar on it now.
God, and that kick drum, I mean, I feel like I'm at a rave.
Yeah, well, most of it, dude, like most, like it goes through my rig, but the reason we have extra balls is because of the wonderful Steve Chant from Missouri on the desk, because he takes that line, duplicates it, runs the kick drum through his magical stuff. Graphic EQ, extra compression, limiters, things like that. So in every room, it's going to sound like the dog's bollocks. Excuse
yeah.
my French.
It might as well be French. We're Americans. We don't even know what bollocks
yeah.
is.
Freedom
yeah.
fries. Exactly. So that's the guitar side of things, really.
Okay, so a side question.
Side of yeah.
Do you, when you're playing at home, do you plug in all the time? Because so much of this...
So actually... A lot of the composition, so if you listen to my, if anyone's interested in listening to my records on Spotify, a lot of it is very much pure acoustic guitar. And then live is where I play with a lot of the toys. And the reason for that is I compose with this thing called the Tonewood amp, which
sure.
I know you, I think, like,
yeah,
I saw
yeah,
you
yeah.
at NAMM,
yeah,
at
yeah.
Summer NAMM. Tonewood amp, if you don't know, it's this little device that sticks to the back of the guitar with magnets. And it sort of takes a pickup source, but lets reverb come out the sound hole of the guitar. So it's super inspiring. So when I'm at home and writing, I'll just stick that on, and then I can just walk around the house. I've got reverb with me everywhere, and it just, I get these really, this is why I have these big, extravagant tunings with lots of space in them, because the Tonewood amp is inspiring that process. But sometimes, if I'm trying to work on something that I know needs looping or I know needs some delay, I will plug into a little amp or something. Or we just mess with it in the studio, and then I have to replicate it live.
Right.
And a lot of this stuff is actually solutions to problems that have been presented in the studio, where we're just freewheeling it and thinking, oh, let's add distortion to this section. Okay, well, how can I do that live?
Blah, yeah.
And that's where all this bullshit comes in.
The yeah. perfect segue to the bullshit.
Ready for a special offer on a print subscription to Premier Guitar? Visit shop.premierguitar.com now and use this coupon, podcast15, that's PODCAST15, to get 15% off a one-year subscription to our in-depth coverage of your favorite artists and the coolest new gear. Offer valid in U.S. only, no Wi-Fi required.
We're
Let's
the masters
get
of segues today. This is fantastic. So I don't know if the cameras are pointing at this situation. Are you guys seeing that? Wicked. So right here is a sheet of plywood that me and my dad cut up and covered in Velcro. That's the pedal board.
Well done.
Because, yep, well done to my dad. And basically this is to keep weight down, because when you're touring and you're on the road, you want to travel light. So there's a bunch of stuff on here, but it all starts with this cable. So Damasio, Eric at Damasio, Eric Corpus, made me this cable. You see there's three lines coming out of the cable. That's to take the four pickup signals. Why are there three lines and not four? That's because this line gets mixed inside the guitar. That's my mic and piezo that get mixed mono, so that if the worst comes to the worst and everything breaks, I can just plug in a mono jack cable and at least I can get some percussion and some guitar.
Sure.
Right? So it all comes down into this mixer. Now this mixer here is where it all goes into. So I get a little bit more level out of the magnetic there for some of the overdrive channels, and then everything else goes into this Bose mixer. So this is, I've covered that up with a sticker, but it's a Bose, I can't remember what it's called, T8 or something like that. It's an 8-channel digital mixer. Something like that. And what essentially happens is each pickup gets EQ'd. So I can actually isolate some of this. In fact, if I just give you the kick, there's nothing on the guitar.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's pretty isolated.
Yeah, amazing.
There's
like no
there. There's
bleed.
Very little bleed, exactly. If I mute that, Steve, can you mute the kick out front? So now there's nothing, right? We're all muted. This channel is the magnetic pickup. So that's just the Black Angel magnetic. Now, the interesting thing with that, well, I'll go through the other one first. This third channel is the piezo and mic together. So that's your more typical acoustic guitar live sound with some of the edges as well. But when I blend them all together, you bring the kick back on, dude. that's when we get the full whack. But that's not all, John. There's more, because there's some other channels on this mixer, and those are related to some of these pedals here, because what I have on channel 4 is I've sent the magnetic pickup out through an output of the mixer and into an octave pedal. So you can hear here, right. I have the Boss OC3 octave set on the polyphonic mode, which means it only applies the octave to the lower register. There's no octave on the top strings.
Wow. Does it know?
How does it know? Well, it has this wonderful range knob. So if I turn the range on full, there's an octave on everything, but I set it to an area that's relative to the frequencies that the guitar and the tuning are putting out.
Check out the big brain on Mike.
Yeah, big brain on campus. Big dick energy up in here. Sorry, Mum. This pedal is one of the only, I think it's the only octave pedal I've ever found that has this polyphonic mode, right? And if you want, every acoustic guitar player should have it, but as I mentioned, it's only getting fed sound from the magnetic pickup. The reason for that is, if I do this, I don't want that to generate an octave tone. Yeah. That's an isolated thing. I don't want the guitar or the percussion to generate an octave tone. So it's only getting the strings. And that's why the magnetic pickup's so useful, because it only gives you the strings, right? So you probably won't be able to see this from that angle, but if you guys want to do this and pick up a Boss OC3, if you plug, literally, dude, this is a blank jack. There's not even anything plugged into it, into the direct out socket. That will bypass any duplication of level and signal passing except for the octave tone. If I took this out, the signal would be doubled a little bit. It's this weird phenomenon with this pedal, and it took me a while to figure out why I was getting.
How did you happen onto that?
Someone, I think it was again Nick Benjamin, mentioned it to me because he had a similar issue with Newton Faulkner, who's a mega super awesome dude, big pop star in the UK, who plays Nick's guitars and has this. So there's a little pro tip: find a blank jack and stick it in the direct output line to stop any excess noise coming through. Anyway, the next channel. You see here, I've got the overdrive. Again, I'm sending the magnetic pickup only because I'm treating it like the electric guitar part of the thing, right?
Sure.
That's going into this pedal, which is a discontinued piece of garbage. I shouldn't say that. It's a great pedal. The only reason I say it's a piece of garbage is because it was incredibly cheap, but it's not, because I've been using it at every show consistently since I got it about 3 years ago. It's made by Joyo, and it's called the American Sound, right?
Which Joyo?
It's an off-brand, would be Fender kind of copy. But the main thing to take away is it's an amp simulator pedal. It's not a distortion pedal, because I'm not running through amps. I'm going straight to the PA, and this emulates the cabinet, so it gives you a really nice sound. Now, I'm going on and on, but the signal gets stopped at this Dunlop volume pedal. So if I fade this volume pedal in, my overdriven amp, which is what it is, it's just the gain's cranked, right? Comes through. And that's blended with all the other pickups and everything. So you can get some real nice, gnarly rock and roll stuff.
Right. It was just watching you play on the way in, it was just such a cool accent. I mean, during your sound check prior to filming.
Yeah.
You were using it like an accent every
now and then. Yeah, I sort of faded in every now and then if you want to just get a little bit of rocket sauce out of the spanky planks. You know,
who doesn't want rocket sauce?
Dude, rocket sauce is the sickness. So that's another channel. So the overdrive circuit is like that. And then there's one more channel that I use, which is, again, the magnetic pickup only, going out into this Digitech Whammy Ricochet pedal. So I've got that programmed to basically do a quick rise and a slow fall. So this whammy thing, again, you've got to check out Petteri Sariola from Finland. Besides Justin Hayward, Pete and I have toured together a lot on the solo guitar scene, and he's a producer as well, so he's all into his gadgets and gizmos. And I think I turned up to a show once with a wah pedal, and he had this thing, and I was like, dude, that's sick. So I've actually ditched the wah pedal. He's actually now got a wah pedal, and I've gone to this, which is cool. But it's just something that I'm actually using in Justin shows as well. On like some of the Moody Blues songs, the really old progs tunes, this is, you know, like Forever Autumn, War of the Worlds, you can actually get that kind of synthy, weird
harpsichord-y
vibe, right?
Weird,
exactly.
Right.
So
perfect.
That's the mixer element of the chain. Then that all goes stereo out into one of my favorite pedals by Strymon called the Timeline. Right now, the Timeline is a wonderful delay pedal, but I'm able to create even bigger reverbs and swells using it by just holding things down.
Wow.
In the little clip that I played, I was also able to get a sort of lo-fi vinyl crackle. Another sound I use quite a lot is something I found on a Pete Thorne video, actually, on YouTube, which is this shimmery kind of... really nice little accents there. That then goes out stereo into a loop pedal for my loops. And then we go into the Hall of Fame, which I have on the whole time on the modulated setting. Okay, because I think that's got a nice little chorus to it, which when you're playing solo, I do like little 80s-y vibe thickening reverbs.
Sure.
So and then there's one more thing in the chain here, which is actually this sample pad from Roland called the WAV pad. And this is something I've been sort of experimenting with on this last tour to try and not use like backing tracks, but add these little elements that sort of enhance the live instrumental show. So it's on batteries right now, so I'll just turn it on. But what I did is I took the recording of this guitar doing a sort of reverb tail in this tuning and added it, sort of reversed it and put it on the sample pad. So we get that. So when I'm doing a big like 1, 2, 3, 4, well, that was 5, but there we go. You know, we get a nice little reverb tail and stuff. But the funny thing with this is that, there are these like stock sounds that come with it. So if you slip onto the wrong setting by accident, it can be like, here we go, guys, are you ready? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Come on!
And then you get like random shit or 808 or whatever. So just make sure it's on the right thing. But that's pretty much it. So the guitar goes into the mixer, all the channels, all the pickups get EQ'd, then the magnetic pickup goes into different effects pedals in a loop, then we go stereo out from the mixer into the Strymon, stereo to the looper, stereo to the reverb, and then this is just sort of doing its own thing. And then going out to front of house, we have two cables, left and right, and then we have the kick drum going out to Steve, as I mentioned before, because he gets extra control over that. Should we stand up, John? I'm getting cramp.
Please.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Take one.
Okay, So Mike, I don't know, what I'm wondering is, it sounds so amazing live. Like, why are you going to the studio? Why don't you just
everything live? It's funny you should say that, because a few days ago, I was in New York, and that show was actually recorded. So I will be releasing a live record at some point. I don't know if that's going to be like a digital Spotify EP or like an album with some other live cuts. There's been a lot of live cuts that I've sort of got on my hard drive over the years. But that's to kind of showcase the pedal stuff and also the audience participation, because like I was saying to you earlier, like acoustic guitar instrumental concerts don't have to be like a guy sat on a chair staring at his feet playing.
Strumming.
Yeah, which is fine if that's what you're into, but I grew up listening to Iron Maiden. You know, I want a giant 12-foot monster to come on stage on stilts and things. So besides that, because that's not in the budget yet, unless you buy my CDs at mikedawes.com/shop, you know, it's this element and the entertainment element that I really want to try and convey. And I actually did some shows with Tommy Emmanuel, the legend, the Nashville hero as well, earlier this year. And we're going to do a tour in Germany just after this tour I'm on now.
That's going to be fun.
And, you know, you see him, he's there to entertain people, make them forget about their mortgages for the evening. And that's what it's about. And that's I really share that sentiment when it comes to, you know, it's just me up here. I just want to be honest. Last night in Knoxville, I was talking about being stuck on the toilet and pooping after eating hot wings. And that's just fine, because people laughed and then they forgot about their worries, you know, and that's what it's about for me personally. But in the studio, I know I keep blabbing. I'm very lonely in my hotel room all day, and I've just been let out. Had 12 coffees as well. In the studio, we do mic it all up and we capture that raw acoustic performance. But because we have the pickups separately on the board as well, the effects get to be put on just the magnetic pickup for the same reasons I spoke about earlier, so we can play with this stuff in the context of getting an exceptional world-class studio acoustic guitar recording.
Right.
Josh Clark, Get Real Audio in Bath, Somerset, UK. I've used him for both my records.
Okay. Josh, good job. Okay.
Love you, Josh. Miss you.
Well,
respect.
Okay, so everybody knows you as the acoustic player, but on this Justin tour, you're playing electric as well. Right?
Yes, yes.
Let's take a look.
Segue into that before sound check here. So
sure.
This is a bit of an interesting setup, but it's very simple, so I won't go into like as much detail. A lot of your viewers and listeners and readers will know what an electric guitar is. This, fun story though, this is a Tom Anderson Telecaster. And the very first rehearsals I did with, it's all stock, but the very first rehearsals I did with Justin in Genoa, Italy, back in 2013, in the summer, he had one of these. Or maybe it was the spring. He had one of these, and I played it and was like, this is insane. Like, the neck is just so beautiful. It smells like, you know, that beautiful new guitar smell. And I loved it. And then the first tour I did with him in 2013, I turned up, and he just gave me one. He had another one made, exactly the same specs. Exactly the same specs, got Tom Anderson to rush it through, and he basically just made this guitar for me. And Justin Hayward is just the nicest, most amazing person ever, and I highly recommend you guys go and listen to the Moody Blues, listen to his solo stuff, all that stuff.
Amazing.
But this guitar is sick, and I used it on a few live DVDs that we've cut with Justin over the years. There's one floating around on PBS and some stuff on Spotify, but that's all stock. Then, interestingly, for the first few years of touring, we were exclusively using these reissue Fender Dual Professionals. Any guitar that goes into this sounds amazing, right?
Here, they don't look like reissues. They're so
it's insane.
Road-worn.
Yeah, they are road-worn. But the interesting thing is, and apologies for just like, I'm English, so there's two things the English do. No, three things. We complain, we queue, like we're really good at being in a line, and we apologize constantly, so I'm sorry. Now, the thing is with this, because we use in-ear mixes on this tour, so we all have our radio packs and our in-ear monitors, JH Audio, great in-ear monitors, but these amps are loud, man. Like, I don't know if and on a stage, when we're using in-ear mixes in rooms like the City Winery, it can blow your head off. So the volume became like, that's so delicate, you know?
Sure.
So what we actually got was an AX8 Fractal. Amp modeling situation down here. And what this actually does is we basically recreated these. So in some rooms we use these, but in some rooms we just use this.
So some nights these
some
are just
nights
props.
These are just props. Exactly.
Cool props.
They're very, very cool, yeah. But they're always there to be used as backups. They're fully functioning amps. It's not like a hollowed out cabinet. I mean, I won't make you lift it because they're very valuable.
Sure.
Not that I don't trust you, but Chris won't. So they're real, real beautiful Fenders that we use in the big theaters. But this, basically, I made some presets, not just for myself, but interestingly, Chris, our guitar tech, Chris Trapea from Philadelphia, great guitar tech. I met him on Periphery. He's worked with Prince, the Jacksons, everyone. Super sick guitar tech for your touring needs.
We met him on Periphery as well.
Exactly. I met him on Periphery, actually, yeah. Justin has one song where he brings out his cherry red Gibson 335.
Which has been around
which for... has been, it's a legendary guitar. Yeah. I mean, if the day ever comes where that ends up on Reverb.com, don't sleep on that, okay?
Yeah.
Now, I control him. So I control his bank as well.
Really?
Right? So he'll plug in, I'll hit a switcher. We don't have the switcher out because we're not using it for the show tonight. And then I switch to him. So you see, he'll have an overdrive, graphic EQ and some delay, and some compression and reverb. I just have the compression and reverb.
So wait, so when he's on electric, you're on acoustic?
Yes, we're never both playing electric because of the whole percussive acoustic element, you need that thickness to back him up on the electric.
Totally.
So in fact, on the song that he plays, I play a McPherson 12 string and strum along some chords to get some nice fat Nashville vibes.
Yeah, cool.
We then use another Strymon because Strymon Timeline, super sick delay pedal. This TC Corona Chorus is on all the time. Again, I'm a big fan of just a little bit of chorus to fatten up the tone in a three-piece. And then this is Justin's pedal from his home, Kalamazoo Love Pedal, which we use for the distortion, which sounds so good. We tried to replicate it on the Fractal, but we just much prefer how that sounds.
Sure.
So the electric guitar rig is very simple compared to the acoustic guitar rig, because I'm trying to be a full band with this, you know.
Yeah.
One more thing I didn't mention on the floor, G7th Capo has been using these forever, these guys. Do you know Nick and Simon from G7th? They're amazing. Made in the UK, super cool capos.
I have one, yeah.
Put them on your
fabulous
testicles and they raise your voice.
Sure, really a good testicle clamp when you need one.
Clamps from made in the UK.
Who doesn't? It's lonely in that hotel room. You never know when you need that testicle clamp.
Sorry, Nick and Simon Campling from G7th Capo. Yeah, and so that's my world on these tours. So it's a lot of quick changes, tuning changes, throw that guitar down, pick this guitar up, unmute, tune, you know. It's a lot of running around, and this cable gets very tangled. And
yeah, I imagine.
And there was one night a few shows ago where this guitar actually had a little oopsie because of the manicness of my flailing limbs and spanky planks.
If there's a guitar you want to knock over, it's a Telecaster. They will take it.
So yeah, this is a funny story. The reason I play acoustic guitar is because I used to play a Les Paul, and my mum put it on a stand. It fell. The headstock broke. And whilst it was being repaired, I put it into Dadgad and started fooling around. And that's what led me to acoustic guitar. Oh. So when that fell, my heart skipped a beat. I was worried about the headstock, but man, it just landed on the whammy bar, bounced a little bit, and it's as good as gold.
And actually that fall put you where you are now. So good on you, Mom.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. I try and bring my mom into all of this stuff. My mom and my dad from Bristol, UK.
Yeah. Well, Mike, hey, man, such a pleasure. God, you're wildly impressive. Love the whole thing. Buy the album. Check him out online, all that jazz.
I just did a cheeky wink, like, you know, buy the album today. Yeah. It's not on sale. And if you buy one, you get none free. Seriously, for real, I don't know when you guys are putting this out, but I'm always on tour. I'll be in the USA a lot next year as well. That's 2020. January, February, March, I'm all over North America with International Guitar Night. Anytime you see Justin Haywood touring, whether I'm billed or not, I'm usually there and opening the shows as well. And I'll be doing a lot more stuff next year as well as cracking on with writing album number 3.
Yeah. By the way, your arrangements, God, amazing,
oh,
man.
Thanks,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Thank you. Fabulous. I'm a nerd.
Yeah. Well done. Nerd power.
Yeah.
Till next time.
Nerd power. See you guys.